Hey, good morning. This is Pastor Mike, and I am coming to you from my home today for two reasons. One, they're calling for bad weather, which I don't see anything happening yet. And two, I just was not feeling very well this morning when I woke up. This Meniere's disease that I have just seemed to want to kick in one more time. So, but we're going to continue in our sermon series. So let's just pick up where we would normally pick up. So let's open our Bibles today. Today we are going to the book of 1 Corinthians, and I am going to read chapter 14, verses 20 through 25. Please follow along with me in your Bibles if you have them, or you're watching the video, so they will be up there on the screen that you are watching. 1 Corinthians 14, starting with verse number 20. These are the words of the Apostle Paul as he was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write. And he says this, verse 20. Brethren, do not be children in your thinking, yet in evil be infants, but in your thinking be mature. In the law it is written, by men of strange tongues, and by the lips of strangers, I will speak to this people. And even so, they will not listen to me, says the Lord. So then, tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. But prophecy is for a sign, not to unbelievers, but to those who believe. Therefore, if the whole church assembles together, and all speak in tongues, and ungifted men or unbelievers enter, will they not say, you are mad? But if all prophesy, and an unbeliever or an ungifted man enters, he is convicted by all. He is called to account by all. The secrets of his heart are disclosed, and so he will fall on his face and worship God, declaring that God is certainly among you. These are the words of God for the people of God. Let's go to the Lord in a time of prayer. Lord, once again, we're going to continue on this journey talking about spiritual gifts. Today, once again, more sign gifts. What is it that we need to learn about speaking in tongues for today? We know that you will lead us down the right path and give us the truths that we need to hear. We give you the glory. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, today, I am going to conclude my teaching in the sermon series on understanding spiritual gifts. And this is week number 10 in this series, and I have titled today's message, Tongues Are For a Sign. Tongues are for a sign. If that's all you remember, you're doing good. There are six sign gifts: healing, effecting of miracles, prophecy, foretelling, speaking in tongues, interpreting tongues, and apostles. In the scriptures, these gifts will always, always, always be referred to as signs. None of the other spiritual gifts that are listed up here will ever be referred to as signs. Never, ever, ever. Signs were necessary to validate the message and the messenger. These gifts were miraculous, and they were valid only throughout the apostolic age, which once again began at the ascension of Jesus, which was around 30 AD, and ended at the death of the last apostle around 100 AD. That would have been the Apostle John. That is considered the apostolic age. Today we're going to cover these two final sign gifts, speaking in tongues and interpreting tongues. We see these two gifts, tongues, mentioned once in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, three times in the book of Acts, chapters 2, 10, and 19, and once, well, in 1 Corinthians chapters 12 and 14, rather quite extensively. First, let's look at the book of Acts. Let's go to chapter 2 and look at verses 1 through 4. And Luke writes this: "When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance." Well, we clearly see that there were those who were gifted by the Holy Spirit to speak in tongues on the day of Pentecost. So, what exactly was happening with this gift of tongues? We'll pick up in Acts chapter 2, verse 5 through 7, and then verse 11. The scriptures say this: "Now, there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the crowd came together and were bewildered, because each of them was hearing them speak in his own language." Bold and underlined. "They were amazed and astonished, saying, 'Why are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we each hear them in our own language, to which we were born? We hear them in our own tongues, speaking of the mighty deeds of God.'" Well, that leads us to our first fill-in-the-blank, and you don't have a bulletin today, but our first fill-in-the-blank would say this, and we only have two fill-in-the-blanks today. First one: a tongue is simply a language of another country. Today, we have English, Spanish, French, German, and the list goes on and on and on, and that's what a tongue is. It's simply a language of another country. Listen, we can keep this whole thing, this whole lesson on tongues, very simple, which it is, or we can complicate it to outrageous proportions, as the Pentecostals have done. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 14:22. Paul summarizes this by saying, "So then tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. But prophecy is for a sign, not to unbelievers, but to those who believe." After the Apostle Paul says all that he says about tongues in the first 20 verses of this chapter, and what he says about prophecy, he concludes all of that really with this verse right here. And this, my friends, is all we need to know. Tongues are a sign. So, our second fill in the blank, write this down: tongues are a sign to unbelievers. It's very simple. The message of salvation was confirmed, as we have said in the past weeks, by signs and wonders and miracles. We know that The gift of tongues, as we see in Acts chapter 2, was indeed miraculous. There's no doubt about that. But how does this gift of tongues point anyone anywhere? Because we said that tongues were a sign, and a sign points someone somewhere. So how does that work? 1 Corinthians 14:21. In the law, Paul writes this, in the law it is written, by men of strange tongues and by the lips of strangers, I will speak to this people, and even so they will not listen to me, says the Lord. In this verse here, verse number 21, Paul is quoting Isaiah chapter 28, verses 11 and 12. So what does all this mean? What does that prophecy from Isaiah mean? It's very important to understand that it is a sign. If we go back to Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, well, what do we see? We see that the apostles, who were Jews, were speaking in their native language, which at that time would have been Aramaic. Okay, it's just a brief offshoot of Hebrew. And the unbelieving Jews were hearing the apostles in their own native language. Mike, how do you know they were Jews, and how do you know they were unbelieving Jews? Great question. Allow me to answer that. Why were the people there at that time? Answer, for the Jewish feast of Pentecost. Remember, it was the day of Pentecost. Jews always attended Jewish feast. Gentiles do not. So we know that the audience that was listening to these apostles speak in tongues were Jews and not Gentiles. Okay, well, Mike, how do you know they were unbelievers? Because later on in Acts chapter 2, it says that 3,000 of them got saved that day. You don't get saved if you're already saved. So they got saved. They were unbelieving Jews. So what this prophecy is saying from Isaiah is that the Jews would hear the mighty works of God in a Gentile language. What? If you were a Jew, you'd say, what? That can't be. The Jews believed, now listen, the Jews believed that God would only speak to Jews in the language of the Jews, which was Hebrew or Aramaic. Again, a little offshoot of Hebrew. So what was this that was happening? What is the sign? It was the sign of judgment on Israel. Why? Because when the apostles spoke at Pentecost in all those foreign languages, actually they were speaking in their own language, but people could hear them in their language, the Jews should have known that the judgment prophesied by Isaiah was about to fall on them because of their rejection of who? Simple answer, their rejection of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Therefore, since the prophetic judgment is against an unbelieving Israel, the purpose of tongues is for a sign to unbelieving Jews. And that is why it was used in a mighty way by God on the day of Pentecost. And now you know, and now you understand, I hope, the real reason for speaking in tongues. Now, Oh, we're certainly nowhere near being done yet. But is that what we see on TV? And is that what we hear about today? And maybe we walk into a church that's on the charismatic Pentecostal side and we hear these things called tongues being spoken? Today, people speak gibberish and claim they are speaking in a private prayer language to God. It is them speaking in tongues, but now it is a private prayer language. In reality, they think it makes them closer to God or some kind of super Christian of some sort. I guess I'm not a super Christian because I don't speak in tongues. So do I agree with all this tongue speaking, this private prayer language that's going on today? Well, absolutely not. No, I don't agree with any of it. So today I'm going to give you 16 reasons. Now, you're glad you don't have fill-in-the-blanks for these, right? 16 reasons why I do not believe in modern-day tongues, nor do I believe that what I hear and see today on TV and in churches is a private prayer language. And I'm going to be looking at this from a biblical standpoint, from a historical standpoint, and from just a logical standpoint. So let's look at these. Reason number one, Reformed theology. I teach Reformed theology. It's the theology of the Reformers from back in the 1500s, from Martin Luther to John Calvin, etc., the rest of them people. The theology of the Reformers, and the Reformers were cessationists. And a cessationist says that the miraculous gifts ceased after the apostolic age, which was about 100 AD. Reason number two, ecstatic babbling. A common practice among the Gentile pagans in the first century was ecstatic babbling in unknown languages that was founded in the pagan mystery religions. The pagans were doing this all the time. They were babbling. And Jesus even makes it a point to address this in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, verses 7 through 8, when he says this, "And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." So, when we read this verse, we understand that Jesus was very familiar with the pagan practice of babbling, because that is exactly what they were doing. Reason number three, no tongue speaking recorded after 100 AD. Between the years of 100 AD and around 1900 AD, there is very little, if any, documented instances of speaking in tongues, and no instances whatsoever of people claiming that they were praying in a private prayer language. That is until around 1901. Let's put this man back up here again. Oh, there he is, Charles Parham. He was the founder of Pentecostalism. And again, he believed in resurrecting the sign gifts of miracles, prophecy, and tongues. So in 1901, this man named Charles Parham, who at that time was a Methodist minister, no, there was no such thing as United Methodist. That didn't come about till 1967. He was a Methodist minister. He wanted to resurrect these long-lost gifts. Miracles, prophecy, tongues. He was seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit so he could speak in tongues and do these other miraculous things. Now, let me just tell you just a few truths about Charles Parham. Charles Parham believed in annihilation. What is annihilation? It is the belief that when we die, that's it. We go nowhere. We don't go to heaven. We don't go to hell. The body just ceases and the soul just ceases to exist. Annihilism. Charles Parham was also associated with the Ku Klux Klan, which makes me understand better the next 2 points about Charles Parham that I'm about to tell you. He believed that interracial marriages caused the flood of Noah. Oh boy. Gee. And, get this, Charles Parham did not believe that black people could be sealed as part of the bride of Christ. Well, we all know what we would label him today now, don't we? Charles Parham would have been labeled a racist back over 100 years ago. Well, we know that he was wrong. In the summer of 1907, Charles Parham was arrested in San Antonio, Texas, on the charge of sodomy. Now you know a little bit of this man's background. But yet, approximately 656 million people around the globe still follow the movement that this man started. Sometimes I don't know what's worse, the person that started such a movement or the undiscerning sheep that seem to follow. Let's move on. Reason number 4, bad theology. It seems like many in leadership positions within this movement, particularly those that we see on TV and these TV evangelists, they really come up short with basic theological beliefs. For instance, when these people tell me that I can, by my faith, bring something into existence because they say I am a little God. Bring something into existence? That gives me creative powers. Don't think so. How about this one? They also say that God cannot do anything here on the face of this earth without our permission first through our prayers. Gee. If they teach that bad theology, then I also question their theology about speaking in tongues and miracles and healings and prophecy. Reason number 5. Necessary for salvation? Question mark. Some people in the charismatic Pentecostal movement believe that speaking in tongues is necessary for salvation. Well, then they must not understand that spiritual gifts are given to believers as the Holy Spirit has determined. 1 Corinthians 12:11. So obviously the Holy Spirit gives some of these saved people the gift of tongues. So that means only those people are saved. Folks, do you see how ridiculous this thing can become? Reason number 6. Never told to pray in a private prayer language. The Bible often commands Christians, believers, people like you and I, to pray. Philippians 4:8 tells us to pray in every situation. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 tells us to pray continually, continuously. 1 Timothy 2:1 tells us to pray for all people. But in every time in the Bible when I'm told to pray, I am never told to pray in a private prayer language. And if it was so important, you would think that I would be. Reason number 7, only found in 1 Corinthians. If a private prayer language is self-edifying, as they say it is, and is used to build oneself up, as they say it is, then it would seem to me that it should be found in more books in the New Testament than just in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. But it's not. Reason number 8. Why don't we all do it? If a private prayer language is so powerful and so effective, then why don't we all do it? The only way we could all do it is if it is if tongues was not a spiritual gift. But speaking in tongues is a spiritual gift. It is a sign gift. So apparently many people like myself who does not have that gift will never be able to experience the power of a private prayer language. Oh, I am missing out on so much. And all of you are too, I'm sure. That's sarcasm, folks. 1 Corinthians 12:30 says this. All do not have the gift of healings, do they? All do not speak in tongues, do they? All do not interpret, do they? You notice that Paul is asking a series of rhetorical questions with the answer to all of them is no. Not everybody has the gift of healings. Not everyone speaks in tongues. And not everyone interprets. This verse here clearly states that not everybody speaks in tongues. Reason number 9, pride. When I was working at McClung Companies over in Waynesboro, in the old GE building, I got to become friends with most of the other people who worked in that building, and there were many other companies that worked in that building. One day, I met this young lady whose name was Peggy. And we start talking, and I said, I also pastor a church. Oh, you do? And I said, yes. Which one? Beech Grove Church over in Nelson County. I said, how about you? Are you a church-going lady? And she says, I'm not only a church-going lady, I'm a tongue-speaking Christian. Oh, wow. Boing. It was like the feathers start coming out. All of a sudden, I felt like she was better than me because she spoke in tongues. It can be a matter of pride, folks. For many, this gift, the people who say that they have this gift, can easily puff one up with pride. And as we all know, pride is not part of the Christian walk. Let's go to reason number 10. Tongue speaking can be taught. Folks, there are countless videos, YouTube videos, countless websites where people will teach me and you how we can speak in tongues. One YouTube video, you can look it up, is titled, How to Speak in Tongues Like a Pro. Wow. It's like I'm learning how to go golfing or something. In another video, the Reverend Sonia will step you through why you need to speak in tongues and exactly how to do it. She will teach you. Well, we know what we said. Spiritual gifts cannot be earned, they cannot be learned, they cannot be bought, and they cannot be taught. Yes, very good. Reason number 11. They are fake. Here's a little story. One day, a university professor was speaking with a modern-day tongue speaker. The professor told the man that he spoke in tongues, but could not interpret what he himself was saying. So the professor asked this modern-day tongue speaker if he could interpret the tongues that he was speaking. Well, the man answered, "Of course I can, because I have that gift." So the professor began to speak in tongues. When he had finished, he asked the man what it was that he had just said. The interpreter told the professor that it was a prophetic revelation from God of how he would be changing universities in the near future and become a very influential person at the top of the administration in this new school. Then the professor told the man that he had just recited the Lord's Prayer in Greek. It's fake, my friends. Reason number 12. A man by the name of John Crowder. All modern-day tongue speakers will agree that tongues, the private prayer language, is an unintelligible language. John Crowder claims that he speaks in tongues, but when he speaks in tongues, he oinks like a pig. Well, I suppose that does fall into the category of unintelligible language. Reason number 13. Let's move on. Use English. If I'm going to pray to God, let's think of this logically, okay? If I'm going to pray to God, I prefer to use English. I understand what I am saying. You understand what I am saying. And the last time I checked, God understands what I am saying when I speak in English. And up until now, it has worked every time. Reason number 14. We're coming down the wire here, folks. Satan cannot interfere with your prayers. Those who support speaking in tongues as a private prayer language will say that they pray this way because Satan cannot understand these tongues, this private prayer language, and therefore Satan cannot interfere with what is being said. He cannot be a discouragement. What? How bizarre is that? You see how bizarre this is becoming, folks? Just look at it from a logical point of view. Reason number 15. Empty my mind. In the instructions that of how to speak in tongues, when someone is trying to teach you and I how to speak in tongues, they say that I must first empty my mind to allow the Spirit within me to speak through me to God. Empty my mind? Question mark? Are you kidding? Folks, that's New Age. That's not biblical. As a Christian, the last thing that I want to do is to empty my mind so anything and everything can find its way in and make itself at home. Do these people realize how dangerous this step is? Empty your mind? Come on in, Satan. Come on in. Let's see what the Bible says about this. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. Perfect, pleasing, and perfect will. Folks, our minds need to be renewed, not emptied, and not disengaged. Well, here we come to our final point, point number 16, of the reasons why I do not believe in modern-day tongues or a private prayer language. Reason number 16, my gift is not for self-edification. If I'm going to be using any of my spiritual gifts, it will never be, never be for the purpose of edifying myself. We've covered this in earlier lessons, my friends. I will always use my gifts to edify you and the body of Christ, and you will always use your gifts to edify others and the body of Christ. But many modern-day tongue speakers will say that 1 Corinthians 14:4 clearly states that those who speak in a tongue edifies himself. And wouldn't that be a good thing? Let's look at that verse. 1 Corinthians 14:4. One who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. There it is. It says it right there. But one who prophesies edifies the church. Okay. What are the first three rules of proper biblical interpretation? Context. So, what three truths have we already established in previous messages about the spiritual gifts? We have established these truths. One, we use our spiritual gifts to build up the body of Christ for the common good, Ephesians 4:16. We are given different gifts so that there will be no division in the body and that every part should have the same care for each other, 1 Corinthians 12:24 and 25. And number three, our spiritual gifts are used to serve one another, says Peter in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 10. 1 Corinthians 14:4, let's put that back up here again. Because it clearly says, one who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. Context. This verse, verse number 4, is not a statement of praise and affirmation by the Apostle Paul. It is a statement of rebuke, because some at the church of Corinth would rather edify themselves than edify the church. And spiritual gifts are not for self-edification. They are for edifying the church. Whew. Well, tongues. Oh, there's so much more I could say. But that's all I have here for this morning and for today on understanding spiritual gifts. We've gone through all of them. There's so much more that I could say about all of these. Let's put that list back up here one more time. The gifts with the check marks are the gifts that you and I can have today. Maybe we have one of these, maybe we have several of them. The six that are marked in X's are the sign gifts that expired at the end of the apostolic age. They were just signs, is all they were. So, if anyone ever comes up to you and tells you, I speak in tongues, ask them this. Well, the Bible says the tongues are for a sign. So what are they a sign of? I guarantee their response will be something like this. Well, it's a private prayer language as per 1 Corinthians 14, which enhances my relationship with God, and therefore it's self-edification. And all those answers would be incorrect. But you know and I know, we all know now, that tongues are a sign of judgment against an unbelieving Israel. Period. And we all know that in AD 70, there was the destruction of Jerusalem and the end of the Jewish feast, the Pharisees, all that at that point in time. Yes, they were judged, and they were judged harshly. Well, I wanted to really do this sermon today and put this out on video because after today, I only have 5 more weeks left, and I want to make the best use of my time that I can. But next Sunday, I think this is still a good use of my time. A friend of mine, his name is Chance Massey, will be here at Beech Grove Church. And Chance was born and raised in the Pentecostal Charismatic Church. And several years ago, him and his wife and his family, they defected from that religious system. So he's going to be here next Sunday, and he's going to share with us his story of how he saw the error in what his church was teaching, and he started following the truth. And we'll even lay aside some time for a question and answer if we want to question and hear some answers from Chance at that point in time. So that's all I have on spiritual gifts and understanding spiritual gifts. I hope you really got a lot out of the series. For now, let's go to God in a time of prayer.